One day Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine in the oldest brother's house. A messenger came and said, "The oxen were in the plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and Sabaeans attacked and carried off and put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who's escaped to bring you this news." And while he was speaking, another man said, "Fire from God fell from the sky and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I'm the only one left to tell you." And while he was speaking, another man's messenger came and said, "The Chaldeans formed three raiding parties and swept down from your camels and carried them off and put them to the servants of the sword, and I'm the only one to survive." And while he was speaking, yet another messenger said, "Your sons and your daughters were feasting and drinking wine in the oldest brother's house. And suddenly a wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house, and it collapsed on them, and they are dead. And I'm the only one to come and tell you this." At this, Job got up, tore his robe, shaved his head, and fell to the ground and worshiped, saying, "Naked I came into my mother's womb, and naked shall I depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." All this Job did, not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. How many have asked the question this morning, what is going on at church here today? A couple of you, how many figure that something different happened here? Yeah. That's life. We've got our ideas that this is how things are going to be. And life comes in and nothing is as we expected. Sometimes things go on for a time and we get into a routine. But then all of a sudden, in today's world, your phone goes, beep. Oh, tornado warning. Huh. Look out. Nothing out there. Looks like it's going south of us. Well, a few blocks. Then all of a sudden the wife looks outside and says, "I saw a part of a roof fly off and head down the street across the way." And it's like, oh. You look outside, it's like, I've seen this movie before. I don't see a wicked witch flying around, but I've seen this movie before. And everything got turned upside down. All of a sudden, we have people in our church who've lost part of their house or lost their house entirely. We have an area around us that's a disaster. But also, we've seen the goodwill of people who would donate stuff and donate their time to come out and help. But everything's kind of just went that way. And that's what happens sometimes in life. Life isn't predictable. Life happens. And what we expect sometimes doesn't happen when we expect it. In fact, sometimes something comes in out of the blue. And things that we were expecting to happen don't take place or take place in an order we weren't planning. It's like just a moment ago, okay, we stand now. It's like, you're like, oh no, now's the time to pray. This is what we do. Except we're not doing that now. What's going on? Has the preacher lost his mind? Maybe he has. I don't know. That's out for debate. But life gives us things. In life, Job, we sometimes look around and says, I don't understand. It seems like God gave and now God's taken away. I won't praise the Lord anyway, but my life is in chaos. Habakkuk was looking at around his world and seeing the disaster, and he said, God, I want you to answer. I want you to come and make things right. And God said, if I tell you, you wouldn't believe it. And so Habakkuk says, well, go ahead, tell me, God. And God says, I'm going to bring the Chaldeans from the north. We're going to pretty much wipe everything else, and that's going to be great. And Habakkuk says, excuse me, can I have a revision here? Now, you read the whole entire book of Habakkuk. It's a lot more poetic than I just said it. But Habakkuk's like, what do you mean you're going to wipe everything out? This is not my plan. My plan is you're going to send a revival, everybody's going to be okay, and we're all going to feel better. And God said, no, that's not what's going to happen. And yet at the end of Habakkuk, we find these beautiful words. He said, I heard and my heart pounded and my lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept in my bones and my legs trembled. Why? Because he wasn't liking some of the things he was hearing. He said, yet I wait patiently for the day of calamity. Ouch. I don't wait patiently for that. But sometimes it comes, doesn't it? But then he says these words. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes in the vines, though no olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. And see, there's the key. Where is our strength? What are we counting on? He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and enables them to go on heights. He's saying everything goes wrong, yet God will be my strength. And let me tell you something. If you haven't figured it out already, and if this weekend hasn't been a reminder, things go wrong. Things don't happen the way we expect them to. A few years ago, we all heard, if you invest in a house, it'll always go up in value. How many of y'all believe that now? How can we figure out that it doesn't always happen that way? I remember at the end of the Cold War and the end of the beginning of the 90s, the communism fell, and I heard people say, Russia will never be a power again. I think we elected those people too. Guess what? How many of you think Russia might be a threat? Yeah, a few of you didn't raise your hand, the rest of you though agree. Yeah, what happened? Life? Life happens. And life is going to throw us things we're not expecting. This last few weeks I've been reading some books, and it's been talking about what they call black swan events, the random things that happen in life that actually change things that nobody could predict, that nobody or only a few people saw coming, and how it changes our lives. How what appears like random luck takes place, though we can honestly say often it's the hand of the Lord, or even maybe the attack of the enemy. But things happen that we're not planning. When we came here, me and my wife and with our family, we had a plan. This is what we're going to do. And then our daughter got sick and has her issues that many of you know about. And our plans went that way. But then again, I've seen God work through this congregation to remind me that when my plans go haywire, God uses others in mighty ways. See, we got to realize that we can't depend on the things of this world, because bad things are going to happen. I've also reading this book about the fact that oftentimes we have a system that's fragile. Things can break and seem to fall apart. And sometimes we don't even realize how fragile things are. You don't realize how fragile things are, and then you go 3 days without electricity. Or even 24 hours. And all of a sudden, all that milk and stuff you had in the refrigerator, yeah, it's, you thought, I have stuff in there for at least a week or so. Nope, it's all going in the garbage. It wasn't as stable as we thought. Things don't go right. And one of the books I was reading talked about the fact that we need to build into our lives a sort of anti-fragility, the way that we don't have to be fragile. And yet when I read that, I thought about, as Christians, we have that. We're not, when we put our faith and trust in Him, even the bad things that happen to us don't just make us, we don't just stand against them. If we allow it to, God can use those things and will use those things to make us stronger. Back years ago, my mom was going through a divorce. Nothing through that she wanted, she didn't want it, she wanted to fight it. And I unfortunately had to look at her and say, don't fight it, Mom, you have cause, and don't ask me why. Don't fight it. And she stayed firm through all kinds of things. She didn't realize how bad he had left the finances and other things were taking place. And yet, I remember someone talking to her later and saying, you know, I watched you go through this, and I was amazed that you had kept your faith, and you were a real witness to me. And so what was a disaster turned into something beautiful in the eyes of someone who saw somebody make it through, and not just make it through, but make it through with God on their side. The Apostle Paul says, you know, okay, I lost my voice, my place. Okay. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all, which is good things. But then he comes down to these other words. He says, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret to being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. See, God wants to give us the strength to go through whatever we're facing. He wants to help us, whether it's a good times, and good times are good, but let me tell you something, sometimes having good and plenty can get you in trouble too. Because then you start depending on yourself. It's kind of like at our house when I looked at earlier this last week in the freezer and thought, we got plenty of stuff, we got food for the next month, we got stuff in the refrigerator, we're fine. What could go wrong? Well, thankfully the power came out and I got it and my generator got working, so I didn't lose those things. But something could have easily gone wrong. I may not. What if somebody hadn't come by who knew how to fix the generator I broke? Don't ask. What if the power didn't come on as good as soon as the others did? Now all of this confidence, hey, we're okay, we've got all this food, would have been, hey, I got all this trash. We have to realize that we need to put our confidence in God. And when we've got great and we've got good, be thankful. Remember that it's only because of God that we have these things, and we need to look to Him. And when things go crazy and we lose our roof, when our outhouse gets turned over, ask Ann about that. She does have indoor plumbing, so don't worry about her. She's okay. When part of our town gets wiped out, God can help us. God can use these very situations to make us stronger. Because we remember the words that Paul gave. Scripture that many of us know. He says, "For we know that all things work, God works for the good for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." We hold on to that, but we know God has promised. He's going to work it out. Not all things are good. Some things just are bad. Some things people do are evil. Some things, when nature hits, it's a disaster. Thus the word. But yet, we have this promise from God. "For those who knew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And those he predestines, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified." All these are beautiful words. It gets even better. What shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? A lot of times they're like, yes! But let me tell you something. Sometimes it's not fun when people are against you. It's hard. He said, "He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's chosen? It is God who justifies. He who condemns, or who is he who condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, is more than that, who raised to life, is at the right hand of God, is interceding for us." We've got someone on our side. But then he says something else. When you start seeing in context, this kind of could be kind of scary. He says, "Who shall separate us from the love of God?" We say, "Well, nobody." And he says, "Shall trouble?" What? Trouble's coming? Shall hardship or persecution? Things are going downhill here. Or famine or nakedness or danger of the sword? How many realize this is not comfortable stuff he's talking about? Oh, it gets even better. He says, "As it is written, for your sake we are dying all day long. We are counted as sheep to the slaughter." Excuse me. I don't want to be sheep to the slaughter. I don't like this idea. Because you know what? Life throws us things, and sometimes that's the way you're going to feel. You're going to feel that way. But it's not done. He said, "No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." And that's the promise. God says, though it may look like you're losing, you're winning. Though it may look like things are going sideways, I'm working them out. "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither things present or future, or powers," or maybe I should say the lack of power, "neither height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And when we have his love in our lives, we can make it through anything. I considered preaching this message and I thought, no, I'm not going to preach it. I've got my schedule set up. We're speaking through the disciplines. And then guess what? This weekend happened. And all of a sudden I thought, no. I didn't realize it, but God was already working in my heart for chaos that was going to break out in our lives. And we sometimes wonder, what's going to happen? What bad things, how can they work out for good? Interesting, weird thing that came in this week. Jeremy gave me, he says, "I have no idea who it came from." We don't have a clue. It's a postcard, and somebody wrote on the back of it. He says, "I'm told that my grandma broke her arm so many times." I don't know about you. That doesn't sound fun to me. "But that she got awards for penmanship in both her right and her left hand." That was grandma. This is me. All I can think about is she was forced, because of the accidents, to have to use both hands. And because they had so many times, she was able to win an award with both hands. Now, some of you may be able to write with both hands. I can't, but let me tell you something. I'm not going to win a penmanship award in either hand. But whoever this was, their grandma, what turned out, what was a bad thing, forced her to grow, and it became something amazing. I don't know what's the next step for this community. I don't know what the next step is for this church. When we were hearing the stuff going on and hearing the responses, I had a picture in my mind that what if, since this end of town was hurt, what if we had a hole in our roof? What if, like another church I know about, lost their windows? What was going to be our next step? All of a sudden, all our plans would have been out the window. But here's the thing. If we allow ourselves to be connected to God, allow Him to strengthen us, if He's the one we're relying on, as Habakkuk says, though everything else around me is going wrong, though there are nothing in the field, there are no sheep, there's nothing, the Lord is my strength, and He will make me able to climb over it all. What's the next step? Here's the next step for us as Christians. We're going to trust Jesus. We're going to stay plugged into Him. And guess what? He is going to work it out. In one sense, this week, we got to, in a sense, get to be heroes. We got to be able to allow people to work from our facilities to help others. We can let God use us to help strengthen those around us. A month from now, guess what? It may be them needing to help us. But the one who will always be with us and always help us is Jesus Christ. And He's the one we need to be leaning into. Because our plans are just that. Someone once said, and I wish I could remember who it was, but I remember the quote, "If you want to make God laugh, tell Him your plans." Job had no plan that included what took place to him. It was like a bad movie. Everything went wrong. He lost everyone except his wife, and his wife said, "Well, just curse God and die." "Thanks, honey." He had his friends who originally came out and just wept with him and sat with him quietly for 7 days. That's awesome. Then they started talking. Everything went down after that. But guess what? Though Job kept saying, "I don't understand it. I wish God would explain it to me." By the way, God never did. But God did come speak to him, and God restored him. And though we may not see restoration in this life, God promises no matter what we face, it will work together for good when we're connected to Him. So we have something that can last. We're not fragile when we're connected to Jesus Christ. We're better than that. We're not just strong, but we are. When bad things happen, we get stronger. If we allow God to change us and work in us. And I'm trusting that we're going to do that. By the way, next week, I won't do crazy with our service again. Probably. That's my plan. Did I just hear God laugh? But here's the one thing I do know. God loves me, and He's got me. And because of that, I know we're going to make it. Let's pray this morning. Dear Father, we come before you. And Lord, we thank you that for no loss of life in the midst of this. Lord, you've given protection. And Lord, though we see the power of nature and all that's taken place, Lord, there's still much to do. So Lord, we ask you to use us where we can't, where we should be used, to know, Lord, when to step in and when to stay out of the way. To Lord, to constantly use this as a time and an opportunity to share your love to the world around us, and also to be reminded, Lord, of how frail life truly is, that we need to depend and trust and lean into you. Lord, there are many here who are struggling with issues in their lives beyond just this disaster. We still have people who are suffering with cancer, who are fighting illness, who are fighting financial issues, that God, their troubles are still continuing. And so, Lord, we bring them before you. We ask you, God, to move in their lives and touch them. And Lord, let them not be forgotten or feel like they're forgotten in the midst of all that is taking place. And so right now, Father, we commit ourselves to you, the one who has promised to work all things together for good. So, Lord, help us to lean into you and trust you in all that takes place, both now and in the future. In Jesus' name I pray. And we join, Lord, our voices together, and we pray again that prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.